The Discussing Network presents Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and I want to welcome back Ryan Kent. Ryan, how are you?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I am fantastic as well. I am happy that it's comic book day, and it is cold outside, so I'm enjoying the cooler weather. How are you?
Doing pretty well. It's a little bit cold here to be enjoying any weather, but it is Wednesday, and I did go pick up my books, and I cannot wait to dig into them.
So you're still doing the paper version. I know we've talked about that before, but you're still papering.
I am holding out as long as I can. It's slowly being phased out of my life, but until I want to support as many small businesses as I can right now, and Acme Comics in Peoria, Illinois, you are my store, and you will be my store and as long as I can.
Well, I have my comics too. I will say that I have to admit, as much as I love going to the comics shop and smelling the comic books themselves and having the paper in my hand, I have to also say that I love not having to buy comic book boxes now that I'm doing them digitally.
Storage is killing me right now. As a new homeowner to my first home, it has created some problems. I will say that.
Well, I will say, so you will understand my pain, when one liveth in an apartment, comic books in abundance don't necessarily equal compatibility.
You know what? After college, I was moving around for a while. I won't get into it, but I switched to digital then because you just can't lug them around. You can't store them in an apartment. Comics are a space waster, along with a bunch of other things, but we love them.
Indeed we do. Indeed we do. But you know something else that I love doing, and I'm excited to talk about this topic that we have tonight. I love the handbook of Who's Who that we did with Magic, because Magic is one of my favorite characters. That being said, you mentioned Bullseye as one of your favorite characters that you wanted to do on an upcoming episode. And here we're doing it, you know, this episode here. So I have a question to start us off. Bullseye, how did you first discover this character?
My first exposure to Bullseye and Daredevil and a lot of things comic book actually came from the 2003 Daredevil film, which now, obviously, with 50 great comic book films in the rearview mirror, is kind of silly. But when it came out, I was 11 or 12 years old, and that is the movie that took me from being a fan of superheroes in the movies to I want to go out and I want to read books about this character, Bullseye specifically. I love Daredevil and I loved Elektra and Kingpin, but Bullseye specifically, I'm like, this guy is wild. That version is not my favorite and definitely isn't, but it has kind of turned me on to the world of reading comics.
With all likelihood, that's interesting, because with all likelihood, had you not gone to see that movie, you know, looking at the butterfly effect, you and I wouldn't be talking at this point, likely.
That is an absolute truth, I would say. I love superheroes. I grew up on Batman the Animated Series. And like I said, I was a huge fan of the Raimi Spider-Man films and that X-Men franchise. But Daredevil made me want to go out and read the physical comics. I wanted to see what else I could get my hands on that had this character.
All right, so I'm going to put you on the spot here. So try to put yourself as Ryan, the teenager that was going to see this movie, and you're sitting in the theater and you're watching it. Try to remember, what was it about that character? Because this is the bad guy. This is not even Daredevil. You're talking about the villain. What was it that just like piqued your interest to where you were going to go spend money to find out more?
I loved his attitude. I loved how much he loved being a bad guy. There's a scene, very silly, where he wire foo, but is surfing on a motorcycle down the streets of New York to assassinate somebody. And another one where he is just taking so much joy in killing Elektra. I just love how much he loves being a bad guy. He's just one of a kind. And that really sparked something in me.
Let's assume, well, we're not going to assume. I will tell you, I know who Bullseye is. I'm familiar with the character, but he has never really enticed me personally as a character. So I'm really interested in your take, because I want you to enlighten and / convert me here. So tell me the history. As similar to the way I did with Magic, kind of walk me through, who is Bullseye?
All right, let's take it back to 1976. And to know who Bullseye is, you kind of got to get a feel for what the Daredevil title was at that time. It was kind of an offbeat title. It really wasn't sticking with anything. They tried pairing him with Black Widow. They tried pairing, moving Daredevil to San Francisco. He had villains that were nondescript. I mean, Stiltman is kind of a punchline. Matador is another one. Jester, Leapfrog, like really kind of silly villains. Then Daredevil 131, Bullseye was initially kind of introduced as one of those villains. He was created by Marv Wolfman, who go on to do some pretty legendary stuff, Crisis on Infinite Earths and the Titan series, among others, and Bob Brown, who I'm much less familiar with. But I'll just go ahead and give you a quote from this issue because it kind of explains everything. "My plans are based on my infallible aim and my unique ability to turn anything into a most potent weapon." And that was kind of it. That's his skill set. He has master aim. He is a good combatant and a good acrobat, kind of the run-of-the-mill superhero stuff you see in their bios. But he can turn any weapon or any object into a weapon that he can use to kill his enemies. There's been some debate over the years. I guess I wouldn't say debate, but about kind of the source of his power. Let me ask you, would you guess that he is considered a superhuman in the Marvel Universe or not?
So I'm going to judge my or guess by the fact you said that there is a debate. I'm going to say that he does not have powers, but that people are going to assume that he does, because else, how else would he be that good? Am I right?
That is almost exactly spot on. So he's not listed as, you know, quote unquote, metahuman or mutant, or he doesn't have anything like that. But there have been many references over the years, I would say, to people saying that the things he can do are not human. The things that he do are supernatural, the way he can, the aim that he can take. So I kind of like that ambiguity, though. Kind of like the Joker. He's not immortal, but he's just not going to die, because that's how that makes him creepier in the Batman lore. That's kind of my thing with Bullseye. I always really loved that ambiguity in his background.
That's similar to the way that one would look at Hawkeye or Green Arrow. You know, I know that's DC, but you look at them and they are such great marksmen. You almost have to make them to have some type of otherworldly or enhanced ability, because you're an archer and you're standing next to Thor and the Incredible Hulk.
Exactly.
So you've got to have that balance, or your Bullseye, and you're fighting someone who's got this radar type sense.
Right. Exactly. What you're right. Cause you're, that's so spot on, because Daredevil with his power set should be not impervious, but he should be able to get out of the way of whatever's coming. Daredevil is the only one who's ever been able to make Bullseye miss for a while. That was his claim to fame. I always loved that idea that Bullseye hated Daredevil because he made him miss. Before that, Bullseye had never missed. So, yes, absolutely. It's something that, like, to be on the level that he's on, there almost has to be a supernatural element to it.
I'm going to give you a point for making him a little interesting based on something that I did not know. The fact that there is a personal psychosis that is driving him with Daredevil makes him a little more interesting to me.
And we're going to get into that a little bit more. Kind of the rest of the 70s, Daredevil kind of was still kind of the same weird stuff. He had a few guest appearances, one of which he strapped Daredevil to a giant arrow and tried to shoot him into some cliffs. That's kind of the level we're talking about. Not really a menacing villain, I would say. But then 1979 comes, and like a freight train, Frank Miller hits the Daredevil title. And I don't want to be too hyperbolic, but I really would say that comics aren't the same after Frank Miller's run on Daredevil. I really think he changed some stuff. He started on issue 158, but on 160, I would say when Bullseye really arrived, the today's Bullseye, what we think of him, he's got an unconscious Black Widow, a cord of a hairdryer wrapped around her neck, and he's choking her out with this maniacal laugh right on the cover. This is 1979. That wasn't very common to see that kind of violence, especially violence against women, on the cover of a comic book, but that he is just laughing maniacally. It is such a striking cover. That's when I really think the birth of the real Bullseye happened. And that was, you know, before Dark Knight, Dark Knight Returns, before Watchmen. This was a really kind of a groundbreaking thing. And that's also when we kind of introduced this, that psychosis with Bullseye, and really introduced something about his character that he's absolutely insane. Did you know that he was insane? I mean, everyone, you know, you could say anyone in the comics is insane, but are you aware of how crazy Bullseye is?
No. So again, keep going, because this is interesting.
Okay, so one of my favorite issues, I'm trying to think of what issue. I think it's 168. Bullseye escapes from captivity, and he's out in the middle of the streets of New York. And everywhere he looks, every single person, every kid, every woman, every man he sees is in the Daredevil costume, because Daredevil is his eternal tormentor in his mind. Daredevil is the one who made him miss. Daredevil is the one who keeps beating him. He starts seeing everyone as Daredevil and goes on a murderous rampage, killing everyone, thinking he's killing all these Daredevils. I think Bullseye is on a level of crazy with Joker, I don't know, Green Goblin, a very, very select echelon of people who are absolutely terrifying for their level of how unhinged they are.
So they've totally gone away from that, I'm going to go rob a bank and, you know, and use my gun to shoot open the vault. This is a little deeper than something like that.
Yes. Starting around that time, Frank Miller not only goes from drawing the book, he goes to writing the book. And he really, you know, I could sit here and gush for literal hours about that story and Frank Miller. But he took the tale of Daredevil, his long lost love assassin, Electra Nachios, Kingpin, who Frank Miller also totally elevated to a new level, and Bullseye. He took him on about a 12 issue saga of these four people and their war against each other and the changing alliances. It is absolute perfection. I think it is on the Marvel shortlist of best Marvel stories that you can buy. Cultimates with a really gruesome murder of Elektra. Now, I know you say you're not a, you know, you don't know too much about Bullseye, but I know you've seen that famous panel where he's laughing and he's got the side.
Oh, yeah.
For Elektra with it coming out. It is.
It's one of those iconic comic book moments. I mean, you know, it's sort of like from, you mentioned Crisis on Infinite Earths a little bit earlier. It's sort of like iconic in a sense of Superman holding Supergirl's body on the cover of, you know, I think it was Crisis 8, you know, 9 or 10 or 11. I'm not sure which issue it was, but it's something iconic like that.
Excellent comp. It is something iconic in a, where you could see the silhouette of it and you know what it is. Even if you've never read that story, if a comics fan, you see even just that shape, you know what that's referring to. And later in that issue, that actually happens in the first half of the issue. The second half of the issue is Daredevil going to confront Bullseye. And he tracks him down, and there's a really, really brutal fight as only they could do. It's very kind of silent almost. It's very cinematic. And it ends with Matt holding Bullseye's hand hung from a wire high above the Manhattan street, a Hell's Kitchen alleyway. But Matt lets him fall and says the very chilling words, "Kill no one ever again." Bullseye did what very few villains have ever done. They broke the hero. Batman has almost killed the Joker, but Daredevil actually tried to kill Bullseye here.
I wanted to know what was one of the low points for the character, but listening to the story you've told me so far, this character goes pretty low across the board from a story-wise, not from an action that he's done. But if I were to change that to a story point, what would you consider to be one of the low points narratively for Bullseye?
The next appearance, which is about 10 issues later. So Bullseye, he's just fallen. Daredevil tried to kill him. He's not dead, but he is. He's not comatose. He's fully awake, but he cannot move. He's totally paralyzed, and he's laying in this hospital bed. And Daredevil goes, and just to torment him, plays a game of Russian roulette with Bullseye. It's a really, really messed up issue. At the end, you find out that the gun was never loaded, but Daredevil was just doing it just to torture Bullseye. So I would say that's about as low as it gets. Unable to move, having your mortal enemy point a gun at you and pretend to pull the trigger multiple times.
Wow. Okay. We saw Bullseye, and I hope I'm not jumping too far ahead for you, but we saw Bullseye appear in the Netflix Daredevil show. Comparing him to what teenage Ryan saw in the movies, what did you think of this conception of, or this realization of Bullseye?
I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit. I have not seen the third season of Daredevil yet. As much as I just sit here and profess my love for this character, I have not seen.
Blasphemy.
There's so much TV, man. Have you seen how much TV there is out there?
No, yes, I know. Trust me, I know, because I get TV overload.
Right.
You may be just like me. I will purposely do this. I don't like endings. So I will not watch sometimes the last episode of a show. Now, if it's a narrative to where I need to, you know, see it to understand, but if it's individual episodes that are self-contained, just like a murder mystery or something, I won't go watch the last one because I can say, I've still got one more episode I can watch.
I've got a couple of those. I've got a couple, three episodes left, two episodes left, one season left on shows where I just don't want it to end yet.
So let me ask you this. I read briefly some articles or some synopses of Bullseye before we started recording. And I saw back during the early 2000s when Marvel did, or maybe late 2000s or into the teens. Wow, time flies. Where Marvel seemingly maybe tried to rehabilitate Bullseye. I think he was in the Thunderbolts. So are you familiar with that?
Yes. Civil War, another story that I would say is probably one of Marvel's biggest, if not necessarily, you know, I think one of the best, but that's okay. I don't dislike it. But during that story, kind of there's a famous inflection point where Iron Man kind of compromises his moral integrity and brings in the Thunderbolts, who are run by Norman Osborn. And it is the villains trying to be heroes, but also are still villains. The previous run of Thunderbolts was about villains trying to rehabilitate themselves. The Bullseye, Norman Osborn, Thunderbolts were not. They were bad people. Yes, he was rehabilitated, you know, for his public image, and even was given the title Hawkeye in that time. If you remember The Dark Reign, after Secret Invasion, he was Hawkeye. When there are some really just guttingly chilling stories in there about him as Hawkeye, really, in a sick, twisted way, using the public trust of him in that costume and betraying that. In one story in particular that stands out to me is him murdering the Sentry's wife in a really screwed up way. Yeah, they tried to make him rehabilitated, but it's never stuck.
Mm. I also saw something where he becomes, or I'm going to assume based on everything you've told me so far, he doesn't become Daredevil. He impersonates Daredevil at some point.
Yes, I'm going to see. That was late 90s, I want to say. In order to best his mortal enemy, he dresses up as him. And if I remember right, it's been a long time since I've read those issues, but I think he was trying to draw out Daredevil into a trap because he is Bullseye is almost of a single focus for the first, I would say, 30 years he was alive. Before he joined the Thunderbolts, he was focused on Daredevil and ruining Daredevil's life. But since kind of he became, you know, the Hawkeye, Thunderbolts kind of Bullseye, he's kind of elevated to a Marvel Universe villain and not just a Daredevil villain. And you could kind of argue if that's a good choice or bad choice, but I just will take as much Bullseye as I can get.
All right. So if I were to ask you, what would be your personal favorite Bullseye moment, what would that be?
I'm not going to go Frank Miller. I'm actually going to go to Kevin Smith's run when Daredevil restarted with Volume 2 and Marvel Knights, kind of early turn of the century, early 2000s. But there's a scene where Bullseye and Daredevil are fighting in a mission. It looks like a church. Bullseye shoots Daredevil with a handgun that he brought, shoots him right in the shoulder. They fight. And at some point, the gun is out of Bullseye's hands. And Karen Page, Daredevil's girlfriend from the show, picks up the gun. And Bullseye is standing over Daredevil. He's victorious. And Karen Page puts the gun against his head and threatening to shoot him and pulls the trigger point blank on his head. But there's an empty click. And he says, as the chamber rings throughout an empty room, he says, "Never discard a loaded weapon. I only brought one bullet, lady. How'd you think I got my name?" And then he kills her with Daredevil's own billy club. So that is my favorite Bullseye moment. It is pure competence. He uses the one bullet to shoot Daredevil. There's no mistake there. He doesn't discard a loaded weapon. He loves what he's doing. He's taking pure joy in it, tormenting this girl who thinks she's got it over on him. So you're kind of getting the psychological part of it. And then he kills her with Daredevil's billy club. It is kind of the piece de resistance of Daredevil versus Bullseye, if you ask me.
I'm going to pull a question out of total left field, and I'm curious to see what you respond to this. Let's assume in this comic book crossover reality that might exist, let's say that Bullseye is going against Batman. Would he defeat Batman?
No, because I guess my general answer is Batman beats everybody, but it's a lot closer than you'd think. And Batman would think he's got him down, and Bullseye would knock out his own tooth to spit at a controller to get out or something. He's done that before. He's been in a fight, knocked out a tooth, or a tooth got knocked out, and he used it as a projectile. I would say no, but it's a lot closer than you'd think.
Would you consider Bullseye and Deadshot this intercompany versions of the same character?
Yes, with the difference being, it's if Deadshot had a touch of the Joker in him, if that makes sense. Deadshot, to me, I haven't read a ton of Deadshot stories, but from what I understand, he's a master assassin and can hit anything, but he's a level-headed guy. He's a bad guy or good guy, I don't even really know, but he's level-headed. Imagine taking that, but giving a little bit of just pure homicidal maniac behind it.
Yeah, your description of Bullseye is what made me want to put him against Batman, because he sounds like a version of the Joker with skills, whereas Joker is just insane. And, you know, I'm not saying Joker's not in any way dangerous. He obviously is. But this guy seems just maybe not quite as cuckoo, but pretty darn cuckoo.
It's a focused cuckoo. Like a Joker, I don't know. You can kind of write any story with the Joker and just say, well, he's crazy. You know, who knows? But Bullseye has purpose with his crazy. He actively seeks out Daredevil to challenge him and end him, because it's, I don't know. There have been stories told about how the Joker is Batman's kind of mirror image. I really think Bullseye is that for Matt, because Daredevil, Matt Murdock, is a character who is always struggling to control everything in his life. His life is constantly falling apart. He's trying to hold it together. And I think Bullseye is absolutely the representation of that cold, maniacal chaos. So I just think he's a perfect foil for that character in a way that Joker is for Batman.
Awesome. So let me ask you, if you don't mind, about another character that I know absolutely nothing about. So I'm curious if you could tell me something about Lady Bullseye.
Yeah. Boy, that's been a while. That was introduced in the Brubaker run with Greg Rucka, actually, co-writing, I think. And Lady Bullseye is a member of the Hand, I believe, which is, Hand is a group of assassin ninjas that are antagonists in the Daredevil story. They're actually the ones who helped Bullseye after he was paralyzed, we were talking about, get adamantium lace skeleton. So there's those ties. But Lady Bullseye is a character who grew up idolizing Bullseye. If I remember that right, she came up through the ranks and idolized Bullseye and completely converted herself to try to emulate him.
Interesting. So let me ask you this. If I were to ask you to recommend a story for someone who's listening to this podcast and knows absolutely nothing about Bullseye except for what we've told them in this episode, and they wanted to go out and read something, what would you recommend? What story would you recommend?
I'm going to kind of talk about the two we talked about here and some collected editions folks could pick up if they really wanted to. The Daredevil Bullseye Elektra Kingpin saga is definitely the number one. I think that is kind of the definitive Daredevil story, as well as all those characters. And you can actually get that in the Daredevil Visionaries Frank Miller Volume 2. It collects all of it for a really great price. So I would recommend that's one. And then the Daredevil Guardian Devil, which was that one I spoke about with him and Karen Page and Daredevil, just a really kind of gruesome reimagining of the character. Even though he's only in one issue, it really leaves a mark. But those are the two I would go with Dark Avengers being a third.
Sweet. I want to ask one final question before we close, and that is, I know I've asked you a lot of questions. Are there any other items or any other talking points that you have about Bullseye that we've not covered?
I'll tell you just one more of my favorite little stories about him. So in 2004, there was a mini series called Bullseye Greatest Hits. That's where you learn his first name was probably Lester. That's another thing. We really don't even know who Bullseye is, which is extra scary. But he was a promising pitching prospect. He was going to be a pitcher. He obviously had this great aim and he could throw the ball like crazy, but he was throwing a no-hitter for the first 9 2/3 inning, but on the last pitch he got annoyed and decided to kill the batter and killed him with the baseball. That's just kind of the vibe of Bullseye, and I hope if I'm going to leave the listeners with anything, I'm glad that's what I'm leaving them with.
All right, so I'm going to make a recommendation based on just what you've said. I think you would really enjoy the season of Daredevil with Bullseye. I think for your love of the character, I will say, just as an added note here, I thought he was a very interesting and well presented. And I think you would really enjoy watching the third season of Daredevil. So I highly recommend you go watch it.
Is he better than Colin Farrell surfing on a motorcycle?
I will just say that I thought he was very interesting. And I think I could bet a baseball on it. I'll put it that way.
I've got some homework then. I hope the listeners have some homework. And I'll watch that in the next time we talk. I'll have some thoughts on it.
For everyone listening, let me just say thank you for listening to us. We are glad that you are here. So as we close, Ryan, can I have one final question? Something that you've been watching that you would recommend anyone who is listening go out and watch? What would that be? Or just something you've enjoyed watching lately?
My fiance and I have gone back and we like silly shows to watch while we eat dinner, and we're watching Workaholics right now. And it is a silly, immature show that I never thought I'd like, but I'm loving it. So a great way to kind of decompress after some crazy days we've had.
All right. I'll keep it lighthearted too, even though there are some good touching moments in this. I kept hearing people talk about this show that I'm about to mention, and I'd seen it on Netflix, and I just didn't, you know, like click on it. Some coworkers of mine said, you've got to watch it. And there were 6 seasons of it. And I binged it in about a month and a half. And that's Schitt's Creek. Oh, if you haven't seen it, it is by far one of the best comedy / heartfelt moments. Just hands down, loved it. And the characters are so well written. So highly recommend Schitt's Creek. So there you go.
Awesome.
For everyone listening, thank you for joining us. We are glad that you joined us for another episode. Make sure you subscribe to Discussing Comics using your favorite podcast player. And with that, we will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.